I'm Adam.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome to The Dad Experience, a podcast where dads can connect and openly share stories. All right, folks. Welcome to a very, very special edition of The Dad Experience. Doing a little bit of a Father's Day episode for you. Matt and I have tossed around the idea of doing a Father's Day issue for a while now. And you know what? The timing was right and the timing was perfect. So here we are today on actual Father's Day. More than likely going to get posted to you all across the interwebs. So anyways, Matt, how was your Father's Day?
It was good. First, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the other dads out there.
Yes.
The dads of all different types.
Yeah.
It's a special day. And I find that being a father now, I like today more than my birthday, to be honest.
I will 100% agree with you. 100%. Well, what did you guys do today? Anything special? What was the plan today? What was it, laying low? Was it activities? What did you do?
I got to sleep in.
Nice.
Did not make breakfast, which is always nice for me. It's like the never ending kitchen duty.
Right.
So they made me pancakes and some roasted vegetables and a fruit salad. And you know, it's a typical weekend breakfast here. And you know, I whipped that up usually in like 20-30 minutes, and it took them a little over 2 hours. So
okay.
it was cute. And that's one thing Aya, she always jokes, is she can cook, but it just takes her a really long time, especially since she hasn't been, you know, in the kitchen as much as I have.
Gotcha.
So that's always a joke between her and I about her cooking and the kids too.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, it's like anything. I guess it's whatever you're doing for a long period of time. I guess it's like riding a bike, but you still have to kind of get reintroduced to it, you know?
Right, yeah. So that was fun. And then earlier this week, I had dumped a paint all over myself in the car, in the driveway, in my shoes.
Oh, no.
And they were not paint pants or paint shoes. And Aya was traveling for work. She was gone all week. And
right.
I was just kind of cranky all week. So I wanted to go shopping today.
Nice.
I wanted to get some new kicks and some new jeans.
Nice.
So we hit the mall, and then I just heard about this vegetarian Indian restaurant.
Okay.
In the Novi area, that was really good, and so we went to their lunch buffet, and
nice.
it did not disappoint. It was very good.
Okay.
And then came home, took a nap, and had dinner at Dairy Queen.
Dinner at Dairy Queen, huh?
Yeah.
What is dinner at Dairy Queen like?
We just had a huge lunch, so instead of having dinner, we just had dessert. So
nice. Okay, so it wasn't like you had Dairy Queen lunch food, because they didn't have some of that stuff.
I've never
really eaten it, but
just a couple blizzards. That's
nice.
All.
Blizzards is good. What's your blizzard flavor?
Well, they used to have like the banana pudding thing,
right.
But I was kind of into that.
Okay.
But they don't offer that now, so now I'm an Oreo peanut butter person.
Ah, that's what I'm.
That's my go-to.
My jam is peanut butter and chocolate, so that's always kind of my, that and Reese's Pieces is kind of like, you know, the thing for me. So anyways, did you visit any other family? Did you get to see your dad, you know? Talk to any of the family from overseas for Aya? What else happened?
She Skyped with her parents yesterday. So
okay.
Technically when she talked to them, it was their Father's Day.
Okay, okay. And I'm assuming they celebrate Father's Day the same day just like us, or is it not really a holiday?
You know, to be honest, I'm not quite sure. I think it is a little bit, but I don't think it's as big of a deal as it is here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's how I think it is in Malta too, in Europe. I know they celebrate it, but I don't know if it's as big of a deal.
Yeah. There's no like Father's Day lunch specials or brunch things, or I don't think it's anything like that
right.
I'm aware of.
Okay.
And then, my last month was my dad's birthday. So we did a Father's Day / dad's birthday last month for him, and
okay.
we took him out. So I know my brother went down with him and they hit the range and did some things, and I phoned in and gave him a call. So
good. Good. No, that's always good. That's always good. Oh, that sounds fun. Sounds like a great time. And I bet the girls really enjoyed it. You know, as they get older, has it been increasingly more exciting or the same or just every year is something different?
You know, the first couple years, you know, being home, I wanted to be alone on Father's Day. It's like, you take the kids. I need to get out of here.
Okay.
A couple times I went to the movies by myself. Or I just went to, like, the local coffee shop and just, you know, read a book or did some writing for the blog or something. But now that they're older and they want to participate, you know, I want that. So it's more of a family time for sure.
Right, right, right. Well, that's cool. That's cool. And I bet they get super excited. So what did you get? What was your – not that you – not the gifts is what is important, but what did you what did the girls come up with this year for you?
Chloe at school, they made little desk calendars for all the dads. Cool. So it's funny that she drew me wearing a necktie and like a business suit, even though I, you know, she's probably seen me wear a suit twice. That was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And then Ellie, she drew something that they made at school too. It was just like a giant card and it's a picture of me. Right. It's always neat to see, you know, how they draw me. It's usually a glasses and some sort of beard type thing. Okay. Sometimes there's a necktie, sometimes there's not. It's always neat to see how they do it.
Right. Yeah, it's always interesting. You know, and talk about that. It's kind of like the stereotypes, you know, it's what they're used to. I'm sure all the kids around them were drawing that. You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, and I wouldn't expect my daughter to be any different, but I feel like I'm more similar to you. I obviously, you know, our listeners know I teach in a school, but my school isn't one that's you have to wear a tie all the time and a suit and all those good things. There's times when we do, and I do, and I just feel like doing it's more my choice. But, you know, I'm not like that either, and it's very interesting that that's kind of the – but it kind of goes into everything we've talked about here in the past on the show is, like, the stereotypes. And, you know, when we talked about stereotypes when it comes to being a stay-at-home dad, but also the stereotypes when you're just a working dad, not all – you know, with the way things have changed and kind of the whole way that the whole Silicon Valley, that idea and that mentality of the semi-casual, formal casual thing is kind of – taken over, you know, where we're at here in the States. It's funny that it's just in their mind and ingrained that it's suit and tie for dad, you know?
You know, it's you know, we could go in this whole offside thing about Father's Day just by looking at the greeting cards section at, you know, the store where Mother's Day cards overall are, you know, they're all flowers. Right. A lot of them are flowers and like, thank you for nurturing me. Thank you for being such a good mom. Then, you know, there's some funny ones and stuff, too. But then with the dad ones, you know, a lot of them, it's either about beer, grilling, sports, meat.
Right.
You know, things like that. A lot of them still project the dad as, you know, the armchair quarterback, just sitting on a couch, drinking a beer. And I know they're meant to be funny and, you know, you can get really sensitive and, you know, all that stuff. But in general... I mean, talking in generalizations for sure is when you see them. I see those cards, and I'm like, that I don't belong in Father's Day, you know.
Right, right. You know, and I have to say, I in talking about that now, I have to say that, you know, I think that my wife must have found one that was not that was total opposite, which was totally me. It was very moving. It brought me, you know, brought me to tears, and. It was very cool. It was very sentimental. It was why she falls in love with me every day even more. And, you know, I just kind of listed these things. And I wish I would have brought it with me. I'm in the basement studios, so it wouldn't be hard to go and get it. But we don't want to interrupt our flow here. But, man, it was just, you know, it was the total opposite of what you're saying. So maybe there's hope on the horizon that she was able to find a card like that.
Right.
Which was
cool. And, you know, like I said, it is generalization. So, you know, it's not all. And my point about bringing that up is not all dads are just meat eaters and grillers and you know that isn't everybody. But that's kind of what fathers kind of get lumped into.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I agree. I agree totally. It's and that's not where I'm at either. You know, I'm you know I like some of those things, but I don't necessarily think that that's me as a person or a persona or not even a persona because I am a dad, but just me as a person and a human being. You know, I'm a total opposite of that. And I guess you know the society caters to the majority, but I like to think that we might be more becoming more of the majority. I don't know, maybe with the ever-changing philosophy and the way we look at things in the world. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but who knows? Who knows?
Cool.
So cool. That sounds like a fun day, man. It sounds like a real fun day, and sounds like you had some great family bonding time, so which is really special.
Yeah, how about you? I know this is your first official Father's Day.
This is. Right? The last Father's Day, my wife was pregnant, so we kind of celebrated, but it just didn't seem like Father's Day. I mean, it did, and it was very special, and my wife did some things, and family did things. We made a big barbecue with everybody. But, yeah, this is my first official Father's Day as a dad, and it's a really, really special Father's Day. My daughter, we talked about in the last episode a little bit when we discussed fears and whatnot, had open heart surgery on Tuesday. She actually had the surgery on Tuesday, and we are home. So we got home yesterday afternoon, and I'll tell you that.
So that's 5 days? 4 days?
It was,
5 days?
It was 4 days post operation.
Wow.
We were there, you know, since Monday, but that was all pre op stuff. There was no surgery. So we had surgery Tuesday morning at about 9 o'clock. I want to say they actually started the surgery. By Saturday at 2 o'clock, she had all her tubes and chest tubes out and all those good things and all the IVs and central lines. And we were home by about 2 o'clock-ish. So I tell you that it's going to be a very memorable Father's Day. I'll never forget this Father's Day, but you wouldn't anyways, because it's my first, but also, just her getting home. I never thought that we'd be home this soon. We thought we were going to be gone for, you know, 7 to 10 days, and, we're home. And, you know, kind of to talk back, you know, go back on what we talked about in the last episode with just fears and whatnot. I was terrified. And, you know, last episode, if people didn't kind of get the hint from it, or maybe they did or read into our idea, but it was, we very much so decided on that because I was going through some major fears that Matt and I were talking about. So we figured what better way to do it than discuss it. And I'll tell you, it's still very, very, very scary to think that. You know, it was very interesting. We were at an amazing hospital that we won't say the name for reasons of just, you know, school allegiance for me, but that's okay. But and all joking aside, it is probably one of the best places to go in the world for child or pediatric cardiology. And it's just, it blows my mind. You know, going into it, you're going through the pre-op and kind of thinking, okay, this is real, it's happening, and it's getting closer, and tomorrow's the day. And as the days kind of kept coming closer and closer, it was getting scarier and scarier, and you try and kind of hold that fear back and all that stuff. But just thinking that, you know, short a little bit of amount of pain or a little bit amount of difficulty. So we got to the pre-op, and things are getting closer and closer. You get scared, you know, I'm more scared about it and just worried about what's happening and what's gonna happen. And so we get to the actual surgery day. We get there in the morning, and everything's fine. And, you know, our daughter was extremely happy in the morning, and I just, you know, in her eyes you could see she was happy, and she didn't know what was going to exactly take place. Which obviously she wouldn't at 8 months old, but you just have this feeling knowing I'm going to put her through this. So then we talked to, you know, some of the nurses, and everybody's great, and it's a very family-centered oriented hospital. And then you get some of the doctors telling you, you know, some of the waivers you have to sign. And then we had another doctor come in, and mind you, it's another surgeon, I think it was a fellow, talking about the risks, which they have to do. Now, the day before, we met with our surgeon, the head surgeon, who's the head, I believe, of the department where we were at, and always feel good after having a meeting with him and talking to him. He's very, very much a nurturing person, and I'm sure he's a nurturing father, too. You can just tell. And he just knows how to handle, you know, parents and families and how to read a situation. And right. So nothing prepares you. I don't care who you are for when they're reading the risks that go along with surgery. First few you can handle, you know, you're going through it. It's, you know, this can happen or XYZ can happen. You know, if they touch this part of the heart, then there can be a pacemaker involved. Or if they do something here, you might have leakage involved, which means you might need a valve replacement or a valve repair later on in life. You know, all those things you can accept because you're ready for those things. And, you know, I have research and I know those things. And we knew what the echoes kind of were, for our daughter going into it. and kind of knew where she was on the spectrum and kind of assuming where she was going to come out of the surgery, that it was going to be a little bit better than the average just because she is in a better situation for this, for ABSD, her complete balanced ABSD. But they're reading and reading, and finally, and I don't know why I didn't know or what didn't trigger in my head, but I mean, the doctor was listing, here's number one on a piece of paper, here's number two, which for me was tough to see, like in a list. It was very much like, boom, 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 here it is, everything in your face. And then we got to the last one. He said, know that, you know, this one, it can result in death. And sometimes the children, when they're on the, basically a machine that you, stops your heart. So her heart was stopped, and this machine was basically controlling lung function and heart for her. It was separating the blood flow and making it go to her. So basically her heart was not going. And I don't know why. I mean, I kind of knew and we talked about it, but maybe we talked about it in a different way that I just felt better about it.
Yeah.
It just scared the hell out of me. And I just kind of started breaking down. And this is right before she's going to go on. Of course, she's not sedated, nothing. So she's seeing me, you know, terrified, which was tough. And, you know, just kind of saying, well, then sometimes the children don't have, they can't be, they're don't react well to the plastic in the tubes for, you know, everything that goes on for when they're controlling and keeping them alive through this machine. And, you know, after that, then it's some pretty crazy intense things that need to happen. And there's another machine that can happen if they need to go on to this stuff. And don't quote me exactly because I'm not a doctor, nor do I really remember, especially I'm taking this from about to hand my daughter off to open heart surgery at 8 months old. So, anyways, so yeah, they, we hear all that. And of course I'm signing this and I've never, ever, you know, there's, I do read contracts and things like that, or when you accept or acknowledge different things that you have to, you're going to a trampoline park. You have to acknowledge that if you get hurt, you're responsible, things like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I've always had to do it for my surgeries too, because there's always that risk when you're dealing with anesthesia and all those things that there can result in some sort of, you know, fatality or something that won't go well. But I've never felt the urge to read everything. It's just I did not want to sign it until I knew, you know what I mean? All what
every
was going
single
on.
Little detail.
Oh, man. And it's just I was terrified. I just couldn't keep, basically, for lack of better terms, I couldn't keep my crap together, man. It just it was definitely difficult. It was a tough day. So, you know, I remember, it's kind of like thinking back weeks now, but I do, you know. We signed it all, and that doctor left, and it was tough, but the anesthesiologists came in, and they were very comforting. I feel like anesthesiologists always are. They're the guys with the drugs, I guess, but they're always very, you know, like, happy, lucky-go-lucky people, have great senses of humor. I've always been lucky with that. So they were, and they were very kind and very gentle, and you know, they basically, at that age, at 8 months, they basically, you hand the baby to them and they walk them back to surgery. They don't roll them back or anything, they just walk them. So that was, I know that was tough for my wife. It was tough for me to see, too. It was just very, very hard to just, it could have been the last time I kissed my baby, basically, you know, and said,
yeah,
see you soon. So it was an emotional roller coaster, to say the least. So then we went
probably
to
probably an understatement too, I imagine.
Yeah. I'm still got some anxiety from it. I still, like, today I'm thinking and like I couldn't tell my wife. I'm like, I just don't feel right today, or just, you know, and she's healthy, she's fine. And it's just, you never know. So we hand her, and then they had about a 4 hour surgery, and we found out. They were great. Again, this hospital was amazing. They had somebody come up like almost every hour. It seemed like less than an hour every time for us. But we always had something going on or something to do within that hour to make sure things were going well. But they had a person coming up and telling us exactly what was going on every hour. They told us when she was on, almost done with all getting all anesthesia and getting put to sleep. My wife wanted to know how well she did with that and was she screaming. And apparently she did well with that. No screaming or anything. And then I'm just picturing her face through all this even right now. It's tough.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And so We got some great updates, and everything was going fine and positive. And they then told us that she was on the machine, and the machine was fine. So then, of course, then that risk that I'm thinking in my head the whole time, she was fine with the tubing, all that stuff's good. So then that was fine. And then they came up at the end and said she's off the machine, and we'll see what happens next, because then she's intubated. Obviously, she has a breathing tube, and most kids, it's usually 24 to 48 hours, I want to say, that they're still kept on that breathing tube. They took out all intubation right after surgery, which is very unheard of. Even the nurses said it's extremely unheard of. So she was not on a tube when we saw her. So she came up. We were lucky enough that we were in the Ronald McDonald House for a night, because we knew that she was going to go into more of the, they call it a bay there, of ICU, where they there's a bunch of beds, and you know, you're one bed within there, so one parent can sleep. We could both be there, but one parent could sleep, and it's only because if some emergency happens somewhere in that bay, it needs to be cleared out, and you can't have a lot of things in the way. So we did that. I stayed with her for quite some time. Grandparents rotating in and out, which was amazing. We had some amazing support from my parents, along with my wife's parents being there with us the whole time. And then nothing can prepare you, though, for when you see this tiny little infant. And, you know, and I think I see Matt, I sent you some photos, and I documented it along the way. But nothing can prepare you to see your child like that. And I'm sure it's at any age. It doesn't matter how old they are. To see them and just helpless. But knowing, you know, when we found out about all that, knowing that she had an extremely successful surgery, she's more than likely a good candidate to not have to have a surgery again. I can't say that for sure. She will see a cardiologist the rest of her life, but, you know, it sounds like it's just going to be keeping up with everything and checking in. And if something does happen, sounds like it wouldn't be anything too detrimental. She'll be a child that can do everything like other kids. They said running track, she might tire a little bit easier than other kids, but she'll know when to stop. Right. But other than that, you can do everything and do all the good things. You know, one of my questions I remember early on last summer was, God, I want to take my kid to Disney. You know, it's been a dream for me to take them there. And, you know, I like it there. I think it's fun. You know everybody has an opinion about it, but I've always enjoyed it. And I want to take her there. And it would sound crazy. I told the doctor, this probably sounds stupid, and I shouldn't even be asking this question. I said, but how is it? Because you always read those signs that say, cannot go if you have a heart condition, X, Y, and Z. And you said, you know, more. Yeah. You said, you'll probably be fine. You know, and again, this is my child. It's not medical advice for me or anybody right now. But, you know, so those were kind of reassuring things for me and in our experience. But it was a hell of a ride, my friend.
Yeah, and, so you got a lot on your mind and all different stages, thinking the future and all that stuff.
Right.
It's emotionally taxing for sure.
So to say the least, being home yesterday and being able to be with my daughter all day today and hanging out and just kind of relaxing, sitting on the couch playing with her, just watching some movies or TV, all of us as a family.
And you've got your parents or your in-laws?
My in-laws are with us right now. My parents were with us all week last week, and then they actually, unfortunately, had to go to a wedding for a close family member out of state. So I know they were kind of bummed and really disappointed because they wanted to be here longer, but somebody needed to represent us. And she was fine by the time they left. They saw her on Friday and knew that we were going to be discharged, and she was fine. And so, yeah, we've had extremely amazing support between my family and hers. You know, I can't thank them enough for doing what they do for us, because it's just really, we couldn't do what we do. She wouldn't be where she is. You know, she's very much on target for everything, especially when you're a child of a major surgery like that. Sometimes children fall behind in development, and she's been right along with it and doing well. I'll tell you, we are now 5 days out of post-op. About 3 days out, she was standing in the crib and crawling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And now that she's had her tubes all out since, I guess it's been 2 days now she's had her tubes out. Today, she has been nonstop crawling up and down, pulling on the baby gates, climbing all over me, climbing up to the couch, trying to jump off the couch. I mean,
things are looking good then.
Oh, she's doing awesome, and I couldn't be happier. You know, you think sometimes that you want to have this amazing Father's Day and you're just going to spend time with your family, but you never really know what an amazing Father's Day it is until there's a possibility that there might not be a Father's Day. Not that it was a real big possibility, but you think, gosh, it couldn't be there. So my heart goes out to those people, A, that are sitting here today on Father's Day, too, that maybe for some reason are listening today, that aren't dads or aren't dads anymore, or have lost a child. You know, that's got to be tough on these days, because I can't imagine what today would, could have been a totally different day had A, they not caught this heart condition. Not that it would happen fast, but if they didn't catch it, who knows what would happen? Or B, right. You know, something, God forbid, happened during surgery, which it didn't.
Right.
And, you know, you look at things differently and you don't take those things for granted. I can tell you that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah. It's good that she's well and everybody's home. Yes. And now you guys are teachers and you're both done for summer. Is that correct?
For the most part, yeah. I teach marching band, so that kind of happens a lot during the summer. But still,
but
got
for the most
chunk,
part, at least for the next chunk. Couple weeks.
Next couple weeks is laid low. Nothing going on after that. It's just like one day a week, possibly a few days a week, where I have to go in and just take care of things. And then we have some camps, and then we're off to the football races, my friend. And then we'll be back at school. But you know, we got the pool. We have a pool. We're going to spend a lot of time swimming. She can be in the pool here in the next week or two, which is crazy as well.
Right. And, wow.
Yeah, so we're just going to spend time together as a family. My wife and I are finally getting to take a trip together here coming up in the next few weeks. We haven't left the house on a trip at all in the last pretty much 4 years between the IVF and now the heart.
Where are you going?
We're going to head up to Vegas.
Okay, you guys are going to do that Vegas
thing? We're
going to
do it. Yeah, I got, you know.
Cool.
I guess it's a whole different show, but I'm going to go and represent and help out and be a part of a training through the National Meningitis Association, the NMA, because I was I had meningitis when I was in college, so I do some kind of advocacy and talk the things about the vaccine and preventative measures with meningitis. So they reached out to me and wanted me to be a part of their next training, as well as they have a roundtable discussion that happens. So we're going to do that, and my wife and I are going to add a couple days at the end of that to go.
Which hotel you're staying at?
We're staying in Mandalay Bay. My wife really wanted to go to a pool, so we kind of did that one. And after reading up on it a bit, and we're going to go see some shows. We're going to go see the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show, and we're going to go check out the Beatles' Love. I've seen that one a few times. I really dig it, and I was really excited for my wife to see it. So we're going to see a couple shows, eat some good meals. We are not gamblers by any means, but love to people watch and eat good food when that's a good place to do it, so...
Yeah, it's definitely a good place to eat really good food.
So we need a reconnection time. You know, we haven't, and that's probably another episode topic we can do later, but, you know, we haven't had that. It's been more parenting for the last year because we've been restricted to the home. We don't really go out. We really don't want to leave her very often just because of the heart condition has been. So we haven't done anything, and then we put life on hold as far as travel. We're big travelers because... You know, we were doing things as far as IVF, and then the baby came, and then the heart condition. So we haven't really left the house in 3 to 4 years as far as a trip. So this is very exciting. We're going to get to spend some time. She's going to spend some quality time with her with Lauren's parents, so her Nana and Poppy, and then my parents a little bit too. So her grandparents from my parents. So it's going to be a good time for them as well to kind of spend some and get some more bonding time where she's not restricted to a home.
Yeah,
she'll
that's
be able
great.
To go out and do some other things, so that'll be fun. So yeah, I guess, you know, I guess this whole summer is kind of like a Father's Day for me, because we're going to get to go out, do the zoo, maybe do, you know, whatever, go visit my brother who lives out of state finally and has kids, and they can hang out and with their cousins, and so it's going to be a whole Father's Day full of us, you know, a whole summer full of Father's Day for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so... But, you know, all things seem to be looking and heading in the right direction, so which is good. So,
that's great.
Yeah. So, anyways, so, I guess we will close here. Matt, you have anything else to add on to this one?
just wishing all the fathers a happy Father's Day.
Of course, yeah. So happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And thank you all for listening. You know, hopefully you got some much-needed rest and relaxation on this day, or a very active day if you wanted it to be and did a lot of different fun activities with your family. Thanks so much for listening and supporting us. As we always say, you know, if you really enjoy the show, please go wherever you download your podcast. Give us some feedback. That's how we get found more by other folks that are looking for podcasts similar. Also, follow us on Twitter at DadExpPodcast, and or email us at experienceanddad@gmail.com. And I will put in the show notes how you can kind of follow along with Matt and I, Matt's blog, and as well as follow me on Twitter. And just all those good things that are going on. So thank you so much for listening. Hopefully we will get back to our little bit of a round table or third chair filling in. This episode was kind of also an experiment to help us with some Skype recording. So hopefully we will have that going in now, and we'll be able to talk to some of our guests that we've been talking to from all over the United States as well as across the world. So we're really excited about opening up that for us now. So thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode. Have a good one.